hear that sax. You know what time it is. Jazzy Face Plays, baby. You did. I want to welcome everybody back. Appreciate everybody joining us again for another episode, season two of Jazzy Face Plays podcast. And we got a good one. We started yesterday with the unofficial NBA tip-off, but tonight is the official NBA 2019 to 2020 season tip-off with the full slate of games, not just the two-game opener, although it was an amazing way to start the NBA season. What a battle we saw, both games, Raptors and Pelicans. Pelicans came out fast with that new-look offense. Got lots of young talent. This is without Zion as well. You know, it can always be tough playing those first games of the season when you get your you know, you do the ring ceremony as the reigning NBA champs. Lots of emotion, feeling yourselves. You can kind of come out, you know, a little sluggish in the beginning and not as sharp. We've seen it happen to teams in the past, but props to the Raptors for scrapping and scraping and hitting clutch shots. Van Vliet, you know, credit to everybody on Twitter who's mentioned this already, but seriously, seems like my man hasn't missed a shot since his son was born. He balled out with a career high and put up nice stats across the board. You know, Pascal Siakam is looking like the truth. Nobody likes his Spicy P nickname, so I was joking around earlier. I kind of like Pascal Official, like Cardinal Official. Let's see if we can get that going a little bit, because his game is official. He's a legit talent. But, you know, still thinking of more options. Feel free to leave comments on Twitter at JazzyFay23 on the official page for all of Jazzy Faye's plays. Picks of the day, sports talk, sports betting advice, fantasy talk, the whole nine. You check out my Twitter page there, and you can also find the links to my Anchor podcast, and also, you know, some occasional fun memes and laughs here and there. So, but today's episode, the real NBA tip-off, we have a massive slate of games. I found value in six different matchups for tonight. Want to share them all with you with a brief breakdown of why I feel you know, that side provides value and would be a best bet for me. So we're gonna get it started here with my Dallas Mavericks -8 over the Washington Wizards. And trust me, I'm the first advocate. Always bet with your head, not your heart. And I'm not betting this just because I'm a Mavs fan, I promise. I'm betting this because I found significant edges that lead me towards the Mavericks beating the Wizards by double digits. And it just happens to also be my favorite team. So that's a win-win. It doesn't always happen that way. It's actually kind of rare, especially the way the Mavericks have looked recently. But hopefully we can have this happen a little bit more often this season, because I like what we're putting together here for the future. Getting Kristaps Porzingis back healthy and in the lineup. We've already seen him, you know, kind of establish some chemistry already with Luka Doncic. They were working together in the preseason, you know, maybe not resting them as much as you would some other top stars, just because we wanted to see them build some chemistry early on, because this is our future. These are the two, you know, we're looking for that recreation of that Dirk and Nash, that what could have been. You know, Mark Cuban's one regret of not keeping those two together. And man, as a Mavs fan, that's why I started falling in love with them and been a fan ever since, is those days back when Nash was a rookie and we had Nowitzki. And, you know, it was just that, you know, Nick Van Exel, Michael Finley, all them guys, you know, though, that's when I first started really rocking with the Mavericks. And I'm hoping for a 2.0 with Luka and Kristaps here in the future. So I like just how that front court, even without Dwight Powell, I think Maxi Kleber is underrated. I like how we match up with the Wizards. Aside from Bradley Beal, I think Thomas Bryant has some upside. He can have a good game, and we'll see what we can get out of Rui Hachimura, but he's still a rookie. They got a lot of guys out. No Troy Brown, no Yao Mahimi, no Isaiah Thomas, who they just signed. I like, you know, our collection of talent, guys like DeLon Wright and Seth Curry that we added this offseason, add a little extra punch off the bench, guys who can space out with Luka and Kristaps, hit shots from outside, and also can take the ball away from Luka every now and then, give him a break, and you can run the offense through DeLon Wright. You've seen him step up in that role for Memphis in the past when they needed him to, you know, nights that Conley was injured and sitting out or things of that nature. So I like the Mavericks' chances here at home to beat them by double digits and cover that -8 spread. So that's the first best bet of today's card. Next one, I like the Magic -9 over the Cleveland Cavaliers. You're going to notice a theme here. I'm going to go for a lot of teams that I'm liking today on today's card. They're teams that are returning a lot of stars, and well, not necessarily just stars, because I'm just talking about the Orlando Magic. No disrespect, but you know, you got some legit all-stars there. Vucevic, you know, Aaron Gordon's got some nice upside. You know, I like what Jonathan Isaac can do, you know, stuff in the stat sheet, you know, two-way player. But what I'm really going at is teams that have continuity and consistency. They're returning a lot of guys that were on, you know, on that team last year, similar coaching staff, similar offensive schemes. There's not a lot of new moving pieces and new systems to learn. And I think that's going to be a very profitable betting strategy here in the beginning of this NBA season with one of the most exciting and historic off seasons we've had in a while in free agency, with all the new places and new, you know, new faces in new places, and these two-headed monsters, new head coaches, everything. You know, it's going to take these teams that, you know, they may not look it right away. They're going to be legit down the road, but it's going to take them time to gel. You know, look at, even to compare it to another sport, look at how the Cleveland Browns have struggled with all their weapons on paper. You know, brand new rookie head coach. Everybody needs to gel, find chemistry, and build a rapport together. Like, this kind of stuff doesn't happen overnight, regardless of sport. It takes hard work and time and consistency. So I think that was the mistake that I made with my first best bet of the NBA season, going Lakers -3 yesterday. We're going to, you know, as always in life, you learn from the mistakes, and we definitely learn a lot from losses and take it forward so we can continue and strive for consistent long-term success. So I like the fact that the Magic pretty much returning the same team that they had last year, but also they're adding Al-Farouq Aminu, who's a quality two-way player off the bench, add some more depth there. And you already have Terrence Ross, who's a legit sixth man off the bench, can run the offense for the Magic with that second unit. So I like their starting unit versus Cavs. I like their bench versus the Cavs. So I'm not concerned about, you know, Cavs maybe pulling up late and covering a backdoor spread, because I think even the second unit can dominate and extend the lead when the starters need rest. And then kind of the flip side of the lack of consistency and chemistry, you look at that Cavs team, they're going to be relying on, you know, two rookies in Garland and Kevin Porter Jr. to be somewhat significant parts of their offense early on, along with Sexton and Kevin Love and those guys and Chetty Osman. And on top of that, they have not only a new head coach, but a rookie head coach, first time coaching in the NBA period, and in John Beilein coming over from Michigan. And I know, you know, he's forgotten more basketball than I will ever know and have ever known. But there is a difference in coaching in the college level and coaching to the pros and handling different personalities and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see. And the systems are different as well. So obviously a lot will translate, but it'll be interesting to see how quickly they can get, you know, on the same page over there in Cleveland. I don't like that happening on the road against a team that already has an identity and that shocked some people in the Eastern Conference last season in the Orlando Magic. So I like them covering the spread -9 over the Cavs. And next we have the Chicago Bulls. I got them at -3 over the Charlotte Hornets. Short and sweet, you know, the Hornets, they got lost Kemba Walker, lost Jeremy Lamb, two of their top scorers and contributors from that offense last year. I like the Rozier ad from Boston, but I mean, right now they just don't have enough firepower to keep up, even with a young but on the rise Chicago Bulls team, in my opinion. Especially with the weakness in the front court, you know, you're starting a rookie in PJ Washington and Cody Zeller is actually the leading scorer, the highest leading scorer that's returning to the team from last year, which kind of gives you an idea of the rebuilding stage they're in right now. But it's you got him and PJ Washington that have to deal with the likes of Wendell Carter Jr., who's coming back healthy, who has a lot of upside and would have put together a nice rookie season, I believe, on the offensive and defensive end if he had stayed healthy and continued to develop his game. But they have to deal with the likes of him and another serious stretch four stud in Lauri Markkanen. Not to mention you got Otto Porter at the three. Zach LaVine can still put up 20 to 30 a game. And then the addition in the draft of my boy. You know, as a Tar Heels fan, I thoroughly enjoyed watching his game. I think it translates to the NBA perfectly in the way it's played nowadays. And Kobe White, I thought he was a steal of the draft, especially at point guard. One of the most underrated point guard prospects in the NBA draft. I think he'll turn out to be one of the better ones up there with John Morant when his career is all said and done. I wish him the best. So we'll see. We'll see how he develops, but I love his, you know, that stroke from behind the arc, that three-point shot, his ability to create. He's one of the fastest guys already with the ball in his hands, super, super quick, and his quick hands as well, his ability to play both ways. You know, he put a little bit more weight on him, and so he's not bodied and can be a better overall defender, but he's got those quick hands, can get, a steal or two a game. I like that ceiling for him. And I just think there's just too much firepower throughout the Bulls lineup right now in a high-paced game, especially the advantages they have in the front court. I think it's too much for the Hornets to keep up, even on the road. I like the Bulls, -3, not too bad of a spread that I got. And these, I haven't been saying any odds. Most of mine, none of mine are at more than -120. These I've all locked in either earlier today or yesterday. At either -120 or -110 odds. So every book is different. So, you know, always shop around, try to find the best odds. But these are the plays I have locked in at those numbers for those spreads. And, you can feel free to let me know if you have any questions, advice, if you find different numbers, if I still feel good about it. I'd be happy to help if I can. But that's what I locked in earlier for the official Jazzy Faze plays. So those are the first three. I got three more coming at you. And next here, I got the Utah Jazz, and not just because we share a name, but that's just icing on the cake. I like them -9 against, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Again, going to keep it simple. These are just two teams, in my opinion, going completely opposite directions. The Utah Jazz have a legitimate chance of coming out of the West, I believe, in what is now an extremely balanced league where you can look at, obviously, you know, the Clippers probably as favorites coming out the West, especially how they looked without Paul George last night. But with all these two-headed monsters and where the field has been more open than ever in recent years, I like the team that they're bringing back. I like the upgrade of Mike Conley over Rubio, that swap, as well as the addition of Bojan Bogdanovic, which then bumps Joe Ingles to sixth man, who is already an extremely versatile player and is perfect in that six-man role for them. Won't have to do too much with the starting unit, which I think he did, if I'm not mistaken, a lot last year, especially with injuries and things like that. But you got a guy who can give Conley a break, and Donovan Mitchell, my boy Spider, run the offense with the second unit, you know, give you probably at least 10, 15 points a game, 5 and 5. You know, he's good for that. I'm a big fan of Ingles' game. And so, starter advantage, you know, Goody Robert, right? Gotta love it. Rudy Gobert easily cancels out Steven Adams, in my opinion. No disrespect, toughest man in the league. I want no smoke from him. But just talking matchups here, I think they cancel out. Mike Conley, I would, at this stage in their career, I think I would rather have him over Chris Paul. Especially, I don't know, it's a tough one. You know, no shade to Chris Paul, but I just like everything. And then what you got? Shea Gilgeous-Alexander versus Donovan Mitchell, easy win. You know, Bojan Bogdanović, Danilo Gallinari, it's closer. But then you're not even touching the depth here in Oklahoma City. They're trading everybody away for draft picks and rebuilding for the future. So give me the Jazz at home, double digits. They see the West Coast wide open, sort of. Asterisk Clippers and the Terminator Kawhi over there. But yeah, I like them -9 over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Beat them by at least double digits. And next, I have the San Antonio Spurs -10 over the New York Knicks. Here, let's keep it simple, guys. So again, what do we have? The model of consistency and continuity in a guy like Coach Popovich. Bringing back everybody and then even getting a consistent high upside point guard back that they lost to a knee injury previously. Getting him back healthy in DeJounte Murray, who is going to be a future stud and franchise point guard for them, I believe. He's got that trajectory, got that ceiling, great two-way player, and developing, and I wish him all the best of health. You know, you got DeMar DeRozan, you got the additions of guys like Trey Lyles, DeMar Carroll this offseason to add some depth there in that front court, but also guys who not only can rebound, and especially Carroll can play some perimeter D, but they can also stretch the floor. Lyles can hit the three at the four, and Carroll can hit the three pretty consistently, especially if left wide open. So I like what San Antonio's got. front court, starting lineup, depth. And again, you got a Knicks team where they're rebuilding. They got some injuries to start, which don't help with, you know, a future defensive player of the year and just absolute stud for how the five is run in this day and age in the NBA. Mitchell Robinson, I'm a huge fan of his. You know, I talk with my guys over there at the Mad Good Knicks show. Check them out. They got great content, basketball, sports content, especially around the Knicks, but just all around great minds there at Mad Good Knicks show on Twitter. But yeah, TK, Far, Jay, Steph, all of them. About, you know, Mitchell Robinson, his upside, just the fact that, like, 3, 4, 5, can he average 5 blocks a game? Who knows, man? Sky's the limit with this guy's freak wingspan, length, athleticism. He's talking about developing his 3-point shot. And, you know, I don't think he's anywhere near this yet. And it's very high praise, but he's got the body type. And if he can develop his shot, you know, maybe the AD ceiling, maybe that's the ceiling. I'm not saying he's going to be AD. Don't quote me on this by any means. But and TK and I have spoken about this before. Like, don't want to put that type of pressure on my man. But if there was ever a guy that you can try to compare body types and size, and of course, it's big ifs, though. But wish him the best. Wish him health. Continue to develop your game. You got a super bright future, bro. But again, a bunch of new faces. Got to learn the system. Julius Randle, brand new guy there. You know, Marcus Morris coming over. So many players that just play the same position in the Knicks. They got to figure out and define their roles there in Fizdale's offense. And, you know, relying on rookies and second-year players like Kevin Knox and Iso Zoe and now RJ Barrett to, you know, be significant parts of this offense and this team, I think. It's just going to be asking a lot early on the road in San Antonio against a better team on paper, better coach. Give me the points. I see them easily beating them by double digits, and I like the value there. And last but not least, a matchup that a lot of people have been anticipating and keeping their eye on. I know the Sixers fans have been pumped about it, just wanting to get back on the court since, you know, how their last season ended. You know, a bouncing shot away from potentially being NBA champs themselves, honestly. Like, they were the closest thing to beating the Raptors, especially after the Warriors' key guys went down with injury. And they know that they were that close. They tasted it. You see how much it affected Joel Embiid. He lost 20 pounds. Tried to, you know, be lighter and quicker and last longer, less strain on his joints. He's determined to play more, be there for his team more often. You saw the emotion. You see the interviews talking about, you know, from Africa, we don't show emotion like that and cry. And you know, I get the different cultural differences, but there's nothing wrong with that, man. We know how much you love the game, how much you strive for this. It's nothing to be ashamed of. You know, if anything, that just showed, like honestly, if people don't see how much work that all different athletes put in day in and night, hour after hour in the gym, you know, in the film room, whatever it is, the rehab, not just the basketball gym, but the workout gym, trying to get their body right, everything. So when you fight and get so close to your dream and that ultimate goal, and you just miss out on it, you know, you never have to be ashamed for showing that type of emotion and that level. So I know you're going to come back stronger and better than ever for it. And yeah, I mean, the Sixers honestly are my pick to come out of the East this year and represent. I'm early prediction is Sixers Clippers finals for me. And I mean, this is just going to be, you know, they're hungry, man. You saw Ben Simmons hit a three in the preseason. I know it's preseason, but it matters. Ben Simmons hitting a three matters, and everybody knows it. That's why Twitter went crazy. You know, that's why his teammates went crazy, and you know, it was a running meme and everything. But it's for a good reason, because everybody knows, we've heard Stephen A. say it. I'm in agreement. Ben Simmons, if he develops a consistent jump shot, not even just a you can't leave me open at three-point shot, hitting league average, but definitely like a consistent mid-range jump shot, he needs to just shoot when open. He's the next LeBron. He's arguably the best player in the league, like right after Kawhi. Like that's his ceiling. He's nasty. So, I mean, they just are trending in the right direction. I like the addition of Kemba Walker in Boston, and the addition by subtraction of Kyrie Irving, even though he's an absolute stud. I didn't like how he meshed with the rest of that team, and you know, his style of play with that offense, and you know, guys like Tatum, Jaylen Brown, etc., kind of stunting their development inadvertently. But then you talk about Horford revenge game against his old squad, and just the massive size difference between the Sixers and the Celtics. Like, it's not going to be fair. Like, even 20 pounds lighter, Embiid is going to body anybody that the Celtics want to throw at them down low. You know, Taco Fall's not playing. They're going to have, wasn't it, Robert Williams, I believe, who's got some nice upside, but he can't. He's no match for Embiid down low. He's going to eat him up. You know, and then on top of that, you got Al Horford at the four, probably going to start alongside Embiid. And guess who's, tentatively expected to start for the Celtics at the four? They're looking to roll out Kemba, Jaylen Brown, Tatum, and then at the four, Gordon Hayward and Robert Williams. Al Horford's got to be looking at this and just like, and just licking his chops, you know, just channeling his inner Shaq. And oh, speaking of, holy crap, Shaq.
Hold on, young blood. Let me take care of this, Jesse Frey. I got you on this, baby. Al Horford looking at this. You listening, Kenny? Chuck? Listen to me. Don't disrespect me now. Watch out now. Al Horford looking at that, he's saying barbecue chicken. It's a barbecue chicken alert. Ernie, you hear me? Ernie? You hear me, Ernie? Ernie, remember what I told you, Ernie? Anywhere you want. Carnival Cruises. And get tickets, you and your wife, Ernie. Only you and your wife. No, not you, Chuck. Deal with your ass later. Any way you want, Ernie, is on me. Remember that. Absolutely. My brother.
All right. Shaq, my man, ladies and gentlemen. Quick shout out to the artist formerly known as Shaq, a.k.a. my terrible impersonation that is a work in progress. But you get the point. Celtics have no way that they can handle the Sixers size. If Ben Simmons hits any jump shots tonight, it's just icing on the cake. Kemba Walker can't guard him either. I like the Sixers to beat them by double digits at home. Just with everything combined, the analytics, the emotional human element of it, You know, after how their season ended last time, how hungry they are to fight and got that chip to just get back there and get that monkey off their back, get over the hump, and, you know, represent the East in the finals. So that is my last best bet of the day. Philadelphia 76ers at home -5 over the Boston Celtics. I wouldn't be surprised if they win by double digits, so I like the -5 number. But yeah, so to recap here, ladies and gentlemen, for episode 6 of Jazzy Faze Plays, the real NBA tip-off, we got Dallas -8, Orlando -9, Chicago Bulls -3, Utah Jazz -9, and the San Antonio Spurs -10, and last but not least, the Philadelphia 76ers -5 over the Boston Celtics. So I just want to thank you all again for taking time out of your day to listen here for today's episode of Jazzy Faze Plays. You got some time to hear this whole episode and still get any and all bets in. But as always, if you need, feel free to fast forward, hear the picks, lock them in before lines continue to move or before games lock. But then please do me a solid for all the hard work and effort put into researching for you all to help benefit, because I just want to spread love, sports knowledge, positivity, and hopefully some free money for everybody. Help make this situation a little bit better. So just come back and listen to the whole episode when you have more time. That'd be great. And don't forget to check out my Twitter page, at JazzyFaye23. Turn on push notifications, and you'll never miss any time I have plays of the day, new podcast episode, or something funny for the people. Thanks, y'all. Peace, love, and blessings. Peace.